when they first bought that place, see?
Yeah.
Well, now, they was up here a week ago, Saturday. And it says to me, it says, or she did, she says, this water heater, she called me on the telephone, said that water heater's leaking. I says, oh, piffle. She says, yes, it is. Of course, I don't know how old that water heater is. I got an idea that Myrtle Phillips had it quite a few years. And I went up. Sure enough, it was leaking down the bottom. I took the bottom plate off. And there was water dripping out of the bottom of it. So I took it out and got him a new one, and I took the old one down home, took the bottom off, and I had a 16 penny nail in my pocket, you know, and where that rust spot was on there, where it started to leak, I took that 16 penny nail and just punched it up with my fingers like that, and Jesus, it went right up through it. God, if I'd have done that up there, boy, she'd have leaked right on the floor.
All over.
Well, I got him in a new one.
What did you do? Just put in a new heater?
Yeah. But this one out here, the element, the top element is burned out, and the switch has gone bad. Double throw switch.
Where'd you get that? Wind?
I don't know whether they've got any down there or not. You see, most of those elements, they got a square flange down here and four holes in. But this one here is one of that type that screws in. Got a pipe thread down it there, 1¼-inch pipe thread. Screws in.
Well, that's where you got that heater, not Wind's?
They might have one down there. I don't know. We'll call them up and find out.
All right.
Fresh, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Very good, and I thank you. I had some for breakfast, but that was bought and stuff. I got some oranges down there. I got to get picked one of these days, and I'll have some fresh of my own.
On your own trees?
Faye says that if you buy the frozen, there's fresh up there on the hill, you know, between here and you.
Yeah?
Don't cost you no more than the frozen.
Well, that fresh up there, they want, I think it's 75 cents a quart.
A dollar a half a gallon. I believe that I paid.
$1 for half a gallon?
Mm-hmm.
And $1.75 a gallon?
Yeah.
A gallon?
Fresh, huh?
If you take your bottles to them.
Yeah. Well, we've been buying it down there in Ocala. And 2-quart bottles. These animals. 69 or 79 cents. 2 quarts.
At the fresh?
Hmm?
Fresh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you had to go down to Ocala to get it.
Yeah, that's it.
Mr. Eastman, you know these stamps, the welfare has.
Food stamps?
Food stamps. You know, it's a great deal of trouble to get them.
That's what?
It's a lot of trouble to get them.
Well, I've heard it was.
Well, what I mean is this.
But there's a lot of people getting them that shouldn't get them.
Well, I know. But what I'm talking about is, they got to go, you see, in Lathrop County, you can't do nothing except in Gainesville.
Yeah.
They got to go up to Gainesville and get them. And uh, wait over there a long time, and I guess they can get a month's supply at one time if they got the money. But they, a lot of them, you see, don't have the money, and they just get, say they're entitled to $30 worth. They can get the $15 worth. But they still got to go to Gainesville to get it.
To get them.
So now, they don't count the trip to Gainesville in expense. Well, it's screwball. And I'll tell you another thing. They've got that that checking station, you see, for your car's inspection. Now, some counties, they got it all over the county. But it didn't get to Alachua County, no.
Well, Marion County ain't either. It's just the one down in Ocala.
Well, this next county over here, they've got them all over the county.
Yeah?
Yeah. And the county up here, I forget the names of the counties. And I don't go to Alachua County anymore for it. They're stinkers up there. I go to some of these other places, anywhere I happen to be, you know. And these other places, you see, will have the man will inspect your car, and if there's anything wrong, or he'll fix it.
Well, sir, I had a funny one happen. I went down, I think it was in August, to have my car inspected. And I drove in there, you know, and going like hell, and I stepped on the brakes, and everything was all right. He inspected it all the way through, and everything was all right. Give me my ticket. I went out the back door, and you go out the back door there, you know, and there's a little fairly big area there, and then the street comes up by. Well, I went out there, you know, and I was going to go out on the street, and I stepped on the brakes, and Jesus, I didn't have any.
Yeah.
Didn't have a brake. Well. So I went up and thought I'd come home the back way instead of going back up on the 200 and coming up to Pine Street. See, there's another road that comes down. I forget what they call it. I think it's 14th Street, where you can come right straight down and you come onto that road that comes up to Reddick, see, instead of coming up Pine Street there when you get up there a ways. So I thought I'd come up that way. Well, it crosses 27. Jesus, and I got down to 27 and the damn light was green and I started to go through and the light turned red quicker than the devil. And here were two big trucks that had started right up, you know. And Jesus, they was going to take me. So I swung right around to the left. Went right up to the next corner up there and swung left again and come right straight around and went right around the damn block, see. Come back down, the next time I got down there, the light turned green just before I got there, and so I went right on to him, come out home. Well, I got up here to Bob Becker's, and I run it up on the horse, and you know that oil line that goes for the brakes, it was made out of some kind of metal, it wasn't copper anyway. But you know, the darn thing had rusted through.
Rusted, sir.
So, I pulled it out and put all new copper right straight through in it.
That was in your good car?
Huh?
That was in your good car.
Yeah.
As you sure
but
you...
Boy, I'm telling you, it's an awful feeling to try to drive a car without any brakes.
Oh.
That's why people buy them good cars, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah.
So they... What do you think happened? What did they do?
God, I don't know. I suppose. Well, you take it up in the north country there, they have so much salt on the road in the wintertime. You know,
oh, yeah.
I suppose that probably started rusting.
See? Last time we were down there at Mr. Eastman's, somebody had sold somebody through a jealousy door.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to get that straight out there.
That's the funniest goddamn thing that I ever heard of. That fellow there was working there at the motel. I suppose he wasn't getting too much, you know, but cleaning up nights and helping around darn one thing and another. And either they claim that he got in Barnard's house and got some of Barnard's high blood pressure pills. And he took a couple of them, and then he mixed a little whiskey in on it, and Jesus, it made him crazy, you know. So Jesus, he went to take the colored women home, the cooks there, and he generally gone about half an hour. Well, he was gone an hour and a half and didn't get back. He was all right when he went on this Sunday after Sunday night there, you know. He was all right when he went. Geez, he got down there in Reddick somewhere and somebody gave him some whiskey. And then on top of them high blood pressure pills. Jesus, he got back, you know, and he was nuts. Seeing he come in the restaurant. Well, she went down looking him up, and she couldn't find him. She come back, and she hadn't been back only just a few minutes when he come. Well, he come in, and Barnard told him, he says, George, he says, you've been drinking. Now, he says, we don't want you around the restaurant here. You go down and go to bed. By Jesus, there wasn't nobody going to tell him to go to bed, and he stormed out of that restaurant to beat all. Well, they thought he'd gone to bed, and the next thing they knew, he come in with a .22 rifle and a hunting knife. He was going to kill Barnard. Well, Jesus, they wrestled the gun away from him there, and this man Akins from up here to McIntosh, he married that widow Webb. He got in with Barnard there, getting the gun away, and then the fracas, he got punched in the ribs with it and broke a couple of ribs. And so he got laid up.
Good Lord.
And they got the gun away from George, and George grabbed Barnard and threw him right through that jalousie door. And Barnard didn't tell me it that way, but other ones say that Barnard told them that he hung right onto George and the both of them went through. See, and they broke eight of them jalousies right out of the door.
Steve.
Yeah. So they called me, and I went over. I boarded up the door, and the deputies, the one car of deputies there, and they was looking for him, couldn't find him. So they put in a call, and another car come with two more deputies. And they looked all over everywhere, and it was just getting dusk, you know, and they had flashlights, and you know, they were looking all around. And one of them, they asked me where he was, and I said, Jesus, I don't know. Well, where could he get any whiskey on a Sunday? I said, I don't know that either. Well, and the other one said, you don't suppose he got it down to Bob Becker's? Well, I said, Bob Becker wouldn't have any whiskey to sell on a Sunday. He said, you don't know Bob Becker. The other fellow pipes up and he says, you'd ought to see the county records, he says, on that fella. So I don't know what all they've got on Bob down there, but they must have something down there, see. Of course, Bob has gotten mixed up on gambling two or three times and been pinched and one thing and another, but they seem to think that he had a lot against him down there. Well,
God almighty.
Anyway, I tried to fix up, I patched up the door for Saturday night there, or for Sunday night, with some plywood. And the deputies, they made up their minds that he'd probably gone up the road one way or the other, afoot. So one car went one way and one car went the other way. Well, while he was gone, I don't know where he come from, but George come walking up the road. Well, there's a fellow that stays over there, Joe Olson's, one of Joe's cabins over there, and he hangs around the restaurant a lot, and he gets his eats over there and one thing and another, and he was there. His name is Bennett. And he and I was talking there, and I said, geez, there's somebody walking up the road now. God, he says, that's George. And he started over there, and I went. Well, I had a hammer in my hand, you know, and I knew that George wasn't going to hurt me much, cause as long as I had the hammer. So we went over there and we got a hold of George, and Bennett tried to talk him into coming back over there, see, to the restaurant. No, sir, he was going on up the road. Well, Bennett, he hung on to him, so I run back to the restaurant. I'm going to call the sheriff's office to have him get in touch with him on the radio, see, to get him back to our. And I got back over to the restaurant there, and Jesus, one car from the north pulled in there, see? And I said, gee, they're holding him over there in the ditch on the other side of the road. So the one deputy jumped out of the car, and he ran over across the road, and the other fellow drove his car over. Well, they got over there, and the three of them couldn't get him in the car. Two deputies and this Bennett, they couldn't get him in that car. Well, just about that time, the other car come back, and the other two deputies. And you know, it took four deputies and another man to get that fellow in the car. And you should heard him swearing. Oh, boy, he called them fellows everything. And if he ever got loose, he's going to kill them goddamn deputies. And, oh, boy, he was going to do this and that and the other. Well, they finally got him in the car, took him down in the lockup, and they had an awful time with him. Well, last Monday, a week ago today, they had a trial down there, and they bound him over to a higher court. See, the county court held him over to the circuit court. You know, Friday, now I don't know whether Barnard went down and bailed him out or who did. But you know, that fellow is back up there at the restaurant. By Jesus, after he was going to kill me, I wouldn't want him back around, would you?
I'd be scared to death, Mr. Eastman.
I told Miss Barnard, I said, by Jesus, Barnard getting him back here. I said, maybe the next time he'll make a good deal out of it. She said, that's what I'm afraid of. She said, Claude says there's good in him somewhere. Well, I said, where the hell is it?
Lord,
that beats anything that I ever heard of. He's going down and getting him back out after he threatened to kill him, man. He had everything right there going to kill him.
And would have killed him.
Huh?
And would have killed him.
He got he brought a gun and a knife.
Yeah. Sure, they're down there. The deputies took them down for evidence. See, they're down there. The knife and the gun are both down there. And the sheriff's office down there.
Well, he was on a tear, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he'd never done that before? Did you know of?
No, he'd get drunk.
Oh.
He'd get drunk, and when he'd get drunk, he'd dance around the restaurant in there and have a hell of a time. The waitresses were laughing and sneering at him, you know.
Yeah. But he never.
I'd been after Miss Barnard there for a long time to get him out of there, you know, because he's making a damn fool of himself and everybody else when he'd get drunk.
He just put on a show when he got drunk.
Yeah.
That's the way they used to do it, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah.
You used to see that all the time, didn't you?
God, I never did, because I never was around them places where them fellas were drunk. I always stayed away from them places.
Well, that's a respectable place there.
Yeah.
You didn't expect it down at the Trade Winds. Now, that's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anybody go down there, a quiet, respectable place, they wouldn't expect anything like that, would they? Have you seen him over there when he was celebrating?
When he was sober?
No, when he was celebrating.
Oh, yeah, I see him there once or twice.
And he's objectionable?
Well, yes, he was all likeable and the like of that when he'd be drinking there. He'd get in there, you know, and get up and dance and shake his behind there and shimmy and one thing and another there, and then the waitresses, they'd laugh and have a big time over it, you know.
Yeah. Now, was the customers there at the time?
Some.
It didn't matter to him. They took it in too.
Yeah.
He works at the Trade Wind?
Huh?
Does he work at the Trade Wind?
Yes, he's cleaning up nights, you know, and one thing and another, and around there, and washing dishes, and one thing and another,
and
helping in the kitchen. And
he drives the waitresses home.
No, he invited waitresses home. The colored cooks there that come up there that don't have any
color of their own.
See? And he'd take them home.
Well, that's like James Sawyer did up here at Beatty's, you know.
Yeah.
He'd drive Beatty's blue pickup truck all over the country with them colored cooks. Pick them up and take them home.
Thank God when he goes and gets him back there. That's...
You know, do you know Buddy Sawyer? Well, he goes all over this country. Well, all for generations anyhow. He's been working over here at Ruby's, but it's changed hands now, you see.
Yeah.
Well, when Mr. Rogers was over there, he had that pickup truck, but Buddy kept it all the time. And all he did for Mr. Rogers, you see, well, he may run some errands, but by and large, what he did was go get the colored cooks and take them home. And then he'd haul in it. If these people anywhere around here needed to go up and get food stamps, he'd take them up there.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers' gas, and Mr. Rogers kept the truck going. And that cost me, you know, just keeping the thing going.
Yeah.
If they run out of wood for the wood stoves, you see, he'd haul wood. He'd cut it and get a hold of it and all like that. Well, sir, you know, it's a different neighborhood now. When Mr. Rogers left, the old pickup truck was wore out, so he just turned that in on a new one, and he kept the new one, and gave James that old station wagon. Well, it was a good station wagon, but it was an old one. So James can't keep it running. You see, these two-bit mechanics, they don't help you much.
Yeah.
And the high-priced mechanics, he can't pay the bill. And he wouldn't pay him if he had the money. I don't know what it is about some of these fellas. They had rather owe you.
I know it. Well, now, down there at the restaurant, of course, I've always done quite a lot of work down there, maintenance work. See, well, here, they've got a new restaurant and motel inspector. This man Dixon up there at McIntosh, I don't know if you know him or not, Bill Dixon. He did work as a secretary to L.K. Edwards. He got sick. His wife went over to substitute for him. L.K. said he'd rather look at a woman secretary any day than a man, so he fired Dixon and hired her. Well, Dixon was running around doing just odd things here and there and around one thing and another, so L.K. got him this job of state. It's a state job, restaurant and motel inspector. Geez, he's just making a damn fool of himself, you know. He wants to show his authority, and he's making them fix up this and that and something else, whether it amounts to anything or not. Now, down there in the restaurant, over the top of those stoves, they have this big hood. And it's 5 feet wide on the bottom and 12 feet long, see? And it come up kind of round and like up like that. And then up in the top, it had a 12-inch pipe in there with a fan, 12-inch fan in it, see, to suck that all out. Well, now I figured that was a pretty good outfit, just like it was. But, you know, the law says they got to have grease filters in there. All right, so he made him put grease filters in. Well, I went around to a number of these restaurants down around Ocala to see what they had and one thing and another in there, see? Well, they don't any of them have a hood as big as that. All they got is just a little outfit with a little grease filter trap in there. So, I got Gloss to take me to Jacksonville because Gloss is a peddler, you know. He peddles all old curtains and drapes and all of that stuff and little electric flat irons and toasters and all that kind of junk. And he gets it out of out of Jacksonville there. He has for years, and he knows all of them wholesale places, see? And he knows Jacksonville just like a book. So I gave him $10 to take me up there to find some of them grease filters. Well, I brought back seven filters and put in up there. Six of them are 20 by 20, and then I couldn't get another one. That was 16 by 20, so I got one that was 16 by 25. Well, then I had to cut off, see, part of it, see, and cut it down to size. Well, I got that electric saw with a masonry blade, you know, and geez, I just cut it right off and set it, made it down the size I wanted, put it in there. Well, then you had to set them on a slant, see, like that. So I had to put an angle iron on the bottom to hold the bottom of it, and then I put another angle iron up here to hold the top of it. Well, then I had to fill in up above this and fill in down here, and then on the bottom with galvanized iron, see, so as to make it so that they have to suck that all up through them filters. Well, now they're supposed to take them filters out of there every couple of weeks, see, and clean them. But you know, there's only one thing that'll clean them, the grease off of them filters, and that's live steam. And where in the devil are they going to get any live steam? Without they take them to Ocala someplace. See, now that's what they told me in the restaurants down in Ocala, that you've got to get live steam to clean them filters with. And they told me down there in Ocala, it seems that this Dixon claims that he's on a strict diet and he has to have food cooked just so and so for him. So they asked him what he was going to do when he at these restaurants. He says, I'm going right into the restaurant kitchen and tell them who I am and how I've got to have that food cooked, and that's the way I want them to cook it for me. Well, one of them in the restaurant down there says, supposing one of them cooks tells you to get out of her kitchen and she'll cook it if she pleases. He says, all I've got to do is shut your door. And then he says, she ain't got no place to work. Now, ain't that a darn nice way for a fellow to talk? That's pretty near showing his authority, isn't it?
You don't reckon that's the reason the LK got rid of him?
Might be. But they told me down there that if he didn't change his way, they were just going to beat him up a little. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of them fellas did. Because I was in one kitchen down there, you take that Jesus, I can't think of the name of that Brahma restaurant.
Yeah.
I was in the kitchen there. And they were real nice to me. They showed me everything through there, you know, and where they figured that they had mistakes made in their outfits in there, and how that they should have been made to remedy them and one thing and another. They were real nice to me. But you know, there was one of them chefs in there was a great big fella. I bet he'd weigh pretty near 300. And a great big bone fella there, you know, and muscular. I'd just like to see him haul off and crack gold. Dixon there once, geez, he'd roll for a week.
And he got you all involved in it.
Yeah. Oh, I do all that kind of work down there at the restaurants, you know, and one thing or another. And geez, here, Friday, I was in there and put a new switch in one of their electric ovens, and you know those the stove that was in there, it was on a three-phase line. Did you ever see an electric stove on a three-phase line? Mm-hmm. Well, I never did. I'd heard of it, but I never run into one until I got into that. And I put in one down there on a 220 single-phase line, and Jesus, I had to get over onto a water pipe to get a ground wire. I had to run a special wire over onto a water pipe to get a ground wire for that stove, see, because the other is a three-phase. Mm. Well, on this three-phase stove, I put a new switch in there for him. Jesus works all right. The first batch of muffins that the cook put in there, she burned them right up. She ran it too hot. She see the smoking, and she opened up the oven door, and Jesus, man, I wish you could seen that kitchen. I happened in there right just after she pulled them out of the oven, and God, they was burned.
More juice than she figured on.
Yeah.
Let's ask old Henry. I'll let you talk to him.
1204, I think the number is. God, I didn't look to see what this one was. I didn't take it out yet. Well, has it got threads on the screws into the tank? Yeah. Well, I'll look and see what this one is here, and maybe I'll be down in a minute.
Mr. Eastman, let me tell you, I thought about you. This was Sunday before last. 2 weeks ago. We had them big horses out plowing down there.
Yeah?
Oh, we really plowed them. We really plowed them and got some of that hay belly off. And they were just sweating and beat the band. And old Cookie was doing the plowing, and he started out nice and fresh, you know, and by the time he plowed an acre down there, I'm telling you, he was sitting down on that plow.
Well, sir, you know, I come near coming up here.
You
my,
did?
My son-in-law was down there, and I come near bringing him up to see them horses.
Yeah.
Well, I sure wish you had.
Yeah.
Well, sir, it was a show.
So it, then.
Oh, they just love it, you see.
Yeah.
They don't mind. They take it right along, I'm telling you. And they haven't worked a whole lot, but they worked enough that they work together pretty good. And that Rowdy, you see, he's a little smaller than the mare, Babe. She's bigger, but he's a better puller.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that was the pair of chestnuts that you had here?
That pair of great big workhorses out
yeah.
there.
One's a spotted one.
One's
a spotted. One's a spotted horse. It's in the front pasture. They're not.
Oh, I thought you meant that other pair that you had here. I think they had a little stripe in the face. Kind of chestnuts-like. Didn't you have a pair like that?
I had a big, one of these is a big bay, and the other is
Pinto.
Pinto kind of color.
Yeah.
They've been here a good while, a year, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they work. The only thing, they need somebody to keep up with them. And riding these tractors around, you see, ain't very good practice for that.
Yeah, nobody knows how to plow anymore, but walking plow. That pair of Morgans that I had, you could ride out and plow 3 acres a day with them right along. They just walk and plow right straight along, you know.
Yeah, and love it. What size? You know, I'm impressed with how little I used to do all those things. Just a boy, you see. And I'm impressed with how little I knew about what I was doing. What sort of plow, what size plow did you use?
Well, there was a difference. We generally used a Munsville plow, or else a John Deere, because the Munsville plow was made right there where I lived, you know. See, they had a big plow factory there that made them plows.
Oh.
And then they made one plow was a number 5 and another one was a number 46. And then they had a 66. A 66 was a heavier plow. The number 5 had a cast iron beam. And you used to break them once in a while if you hit a rock pretty heavy, you know. I broke a number of them with them Morgans because I'd be walking right along, you know, and you come against a rock and, Jesus, the plow would stop and the horse would keep them going.
Yeah.
And it'd take that plow right where the crook is in it there.
Yeah.
Jesus, it'd take a riding tool right in there. And they made them calculated extra heavy in there, too.
Yeah.
At the 46 and the 66 had a steel beam come on it there. Oh, it was about that, that high and
yeah.
about that wide and made kind of like an H there. The,
yeah.
There, you know. And, but them, if you hung on to a big rock just right, you could straighten them out, you know, so that the goddamn plow would be heading right down like that.
Good Lord.
And then you'd have to take that beam out and either get a new beam or take it down and have them...
Got a blacksmith.
Straighten it again.
Yeah.
Where it should be.
It didn't take much heat to straighten it, did it?
No.
Yeah. Well, you know... You know, that's
what kind of plow did you have out here?
We had well, it's out yonder. It's all metal, and it's a pretty good sized plow, and it turned the ground. And now that's
kind
it.
Kind of 14-inch furrow or 16?
I guess it's 14. It's big for a horse, not big for a tractor.
Yeah.
We can take a look at it. We had so many stumps, you see, and rocks. We had always running into something, wasn't we, with them plows that would catch them. And when you got a piece of new ground, you really hit it.
I had a fellow working for me one time on the farm up there when I had them organs. And we were going to plow a piece right up the side of the house there, and it was kind of on a side hill.
Yeah.
Well, I plowed it with a walking plow, and I used to plow it up and down, see, and go up and down and up and down the hill there. He wanted to plow it the other way and get a riding plow. We had a neighbor that had a riding plow, see, and one plow turned it one way and the other plow turned it the other way. So she'd go across and then come right back, see. You'd turn it to the right going this way, and when you come back, you turn it to the left.
Oh.
Throw it down the hill all the while.
Yeah.
So I borrowed the riding plow, and he started in, and he got up part way, and a little mortgage, you know, they'd go out through there and it'd go like the devil, see, because that was alfalfa, you know, and you know alfalfa, them big heavy roots in there, and a light pair of horses, they got to go right along in order to cut them off.
Uh-huh.
Well.
I didn't know alfalfa had such roots as that.
You didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I've seen alfalfa roots that big around.
Good Lord.
And we had a gravel bed right up just beyond where this fellow was plowing. And my father-in-law and I were digging gravel up there one day, and it was right straight up and down, you know, and to keep falling down where we were digging the gravel in there. And it was good soil up on the top, hole for a couple feet there, and then underneath that was nice gravel. And we were digging right there, and there was an alfalfa root up there, and darn thing about that big round on the top. And you know, it tumbled down with the rest of the dirt and stuff there, and I pulled it out. And I had a root that's 13 feet long and it was as big around as my little finger when it broke off.
As big around your arm when it started?
Yeah.
Golly. No, I didn't have an idea of that. Now this...
Well, that was a regular alfalfa. Well, then they have an alfalfa they call Grim. Did you ever hear of that?
No.
Well, Grim has a cluster of roots like a clover. See, this alfalfa once grew in a wet spot, and they used to buy that Grim to sow in places where it was damp, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was ready, too?
It was what?
It had roots, too.
Well, but the Grim had, you know, a bunch of roots.
Bunch of roots, yeah.
See? Like a clover.
Yes. Well, now, you know this Bahia, it makes that sod. And that sod is so full of roots, you know, that you got to go down sort of, you got to get your plow sort of under that before you can cut it.
Well, does that roots go down in the ground very much, or is that on top?
They keep going, but up on top, this far at least, you see.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's
and
thick.
The sods up there, they have kind of runners on the top there, somewhere as big as your finger.
Yeah. And that's mean to cut. Of course, them disc plows are easier.
Yeah.
But I never had one, Mr. Eastman.
Well, I never did either, but.
And, you know, I go along here now, I've got that two plow thing for the tractor. And it's too heavy. I don't need to turn it as much as those big 18-20 inch plows turn it. And I just think all the time, if I had got two of them, I could use three or four of them little discs if they were set right. And do better for my purpose, you see, because I ain't going to plant corn out there. But you know, this Bahia grass, it has got to be plowed every two or three years, or else it ain't edible. Now, right out there in that upper pasture where I put some rye last winter, if you could put the cows over there to graze, they'll graze down there. They won't go up there where that old grass.
No.
Now, and you know, it comes back in the same year. Start with, it looks like it ain't coming back at all.
Well, that the hair will come in of itself?
Yeah, well, it'll come back when you turn it. If you turn it in the winter time, you see,
yeah.
When the sap's down. Then it'll start coming back. By the middle of the summer, you've got a pretty good growth. Along towards the end of the summer, it's just pretty solid grass. And it must taste like a different thing, because that's all they'll eat. Now, over here, I had all that field put in rye last year, and they just lived over there.
Yeah.
And I kept it fertilized, and it grew. It grew pretty good, you see.
Was the hair coming back in that?
Oh, it come back fast.
It did, huh?
Yeah. And what I ought to do, you see, is I ought to plow.
Well, how deep did you plow that?
Well, I plowed it too deep. You see, I all I had was that them big old 20-inch bottom power. And it's kind of hard to set them, keep them light. And you know, you got to turn it to where it's level. And it's kind of hard to do. And you know, the implement people, they're not interested in selling you $100 worth anymore.
No, Jesus.
And they don't know anything about the equipment they sell. Now, you never thought it would come to that, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah,
when
I
you
know,
go
they,
down to the...
They don't care none about it. All they want to do is get their money.
Yeah. You never thought it'd come to that, where you'd go down to the John Deere man and you'd have to, he wouldn't know anything about the implements he sold you. You'd have to buy them and take them out there and find out about them and then come on back in there and tell him. That's one reason a man you don't know what to buy. You can't buy the right implement. Now, I remember I bought a little, when I first come down here, I bought a little cedar. Well, I bought the one that went on the power takeoff in the back. Just a little bitty cedar, bushel maybe. And what I should have done was buy the one that went on the front and operated with a little motor.
Yeah.
Because it's out there where you can see it. And then it busts on the power takeoff anyhow. It's a lot less trouble, a lot less machinery, and it just operates better on the front and the equipment. But, well, I remember when I bought it, the man asked me which I wanted. Well, I said, I don't want any extra motor. I got the power takeoff. But see, he didn't tell me one way or the other. And I didn't know. So, there you go.
You see what you're doing with the one up in front without having a pair of eyes in the back of your head.
That's right. It makes a difference. Makes a big difference. It's lighter. And you can put out fertilizer then.
Did that riding mower work better than the walking mower on the hillside?
Well, what I started to tell you was this,
this
fella got on it, you know, and he was plowing there right along, you know, and geez, all at once I was watching him. And he was going right along, going pretty good clip, you know, and all at once, geez, he struck one of them big solid rocks. Well, you know, the plow and the team stopped. Geez, and it raised him right off in that seat, and he run right out the pole and jumped off the front of the horses. Well, I hollered, I said, John, what the hell's going on here? That ain't no way to plow. By Jesus, you come and drive me yourself.
the plow hooked on something, and he...
He hooked right on one of them big rocks, you know, see? It stopped the plow and the horses right quick, just like that, you know.
And he kept
raised,
going.
Yeah, he just raised right up and kept right on going, right out of order.
I love to see them Morgans work, Missy.
Yes,
you're going to have to get a pair just to demonstrate on them.
Yeah, they were good. I did love that pair of horses.
But you haven't got any now.
The only thing I got now is a book on Morgan horses.
let me see. You don't know when you'd be going down there.
I might be going down today if I get around. I've got to go down to Scotty's and get some other stuff. I'm building a wash house and a pump house for Bill Ninus Huff. She's that big tall woman who works in the post office down there, if he was ever around there.
Yeah.
And I've got to go down and get some plywood.
A wash house?
12 by 16.
Mm-hmm. That's good size.
With a cement floor in it. She's got a pump that's in one corner, see, and then they're going to have a wash machine and dryer in there.
That's pretty nice, isn't it?
They'd have a little storage in there. You see, he's got one of them big tractor-trailer trucks and does trucking all the while. He's here 1 week, and the next week he might be in Boston. He's just come back from Boston here the other day. He said, God, man, it is cold up there. I talked to my son-in-law Saturday night. Saturday up there in Norwich, New York, 16 was the high.
Yeah.
And I figured it was going way below zero Saturday night.
Well, you know, one corner of New York State goes way up there towards the North Pole, Mr.
Yeah, well, I know that.
But he wasn't up there.
He was down right next to the southern border there.
Yeah.
Now, he's the one who's coming to Florida.
Yeah. He was down here, see, and then he had to go back to finish up two or three jobs that he had started up there. And quickly he gets them finished up, he's coming down. He don't know whether he'll start down this coming Saturday. He thinks he can get done this week.
Uh-huh.
See, and then he's got that high-toned job for himself down there to Leesburg in that Cadillac garage.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to use that equipment down here.
He's been putting in these milking parlors, bulk milk tanks, and barn cleaners and the like of that up there.
Oh.
But he has been to the Cadillac school, you know. And he is a real good mechanic. Now, I don't care what the hell they say, just because he's my son-in-law, he is a hell of a good mechanic.
Yeah.
And he's going down to Leesburg, just in that Cadillac garage. And
well, that won't...
The most that he'll have to do down there is supervise other fellas working.
Oh.
And, he is supposed to take care of the ambulances and the hearse down there.
Yeah.
He's supposed to look after them himself and keep checked on when the new Cadillac cars come in. He's supposed to check them over and see what they lack, you know, and what they've got to have for service on them and one thing or another before they go out on the road.
Yeah. He'll have plenty to do. Yeah. Well, that can't hurt you, Mr. Eastman, to have a fellow like that down here.
But he's, Jesus, that's a swell place down there where he's going to work. Jesus,
oh,
beautiful buildings down there.
Yeah.
And that fellow that runs that is a New York State fellow. He comes from right up in there, right close to where my son-in-law is.
Yeah. Mr. Eastman, let me tell you, I've been thinking about this. There are these pumps out here. You know, it's mighty nice to have a little shed on them where you don't have to fool around with them so much in the wintertime. And all I can think of is just putting, you know, framing some wood or something with a little shed roof on it. But there ought to be something simpler than that for those little things there.
Well, I'll tell you what you could do. You could take the same as put a cement block here and one over here and one here and one here.
Yeah.
Just enough to keep it up off in the ground.
Yeah.
And then take and put a plate right on here like that and set some studding on here and take the same as, if you took and put a plate on here and put one stud here and one in the middle and have it about 4 feet square, you could take your plywood, a sheet of plywood, see, and take 4 sheets of plywood and put it right around there like that. Make a door on one end to go in, and then if anything happened that you had to pull a pipe or anything,
just pick it up.
Take that thing and tip it right over.
Now that's it. That's right. Yes.
See, you just take and tip it right over.
Well, all you need then was just the studding.
Yeah.
And on these, that notch on a little farther apart. Now that pump out China is wore out, Mr. Eastman. I've sent it, you know, you couldn't fix it the last time I had to. You took it off and I took it over at your hand.
Yeah.
And he charged me $31.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that now very often, can you?
You'd soon have the price of a new pump.
Yes. Now, could I get a new pump and put on that same pipe and jet down there?
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be any great undertaking then, would it?
No.
Have you had any better luck with one sort of pump over another?
Well, yes, up north there, we used to figure that the Gould and the Myers are the two best pumps made.
But they don't have them down here.
Down here, they run a pile of Berkeley pumps. Berkeley's a good pump.
Yeah. Well, now they sell that at Marion Hardware.
Yeah. Johnny Palmer's got Berkeley pumps.
Oh, he has. Mr. Eastman?
I'll tell you where you can buy them for less money. Berkeley pump is down to that west, down in Ocala. You know where they are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's right down through Ocala there on Orange. I think they're on Orange Avenue.
Well, now look, suppose you had one of those Berkeley pumps and you'd stick it on out there and it didn't work. Say there's something wrong with a jet or something like that. So you'd have to just start all over again.
Well, but most of those jets are built about alike.
Yeah. But this one works except when the pump goes bad.
But you take, I'll tell you, the most of the old jets are brass. A lot of these new jets are half plastic down in there, and I don't like it, for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, Marion Hardware will bring it up and set it on for you. And that means they wouldn't go off and leave it if it didn't work, would they?
No.
Now, if we was to pick one up down that west, we might save $20. And have a lot of worry too. I see that Berkeley won't fit on, use these same fittings. You've got a...
Well, you might have to do a different size fittings. But I wouldn't, if I were you, I wouldn't buy too damn small a pump.
Half horse too small? What'd you buy?
Well, for me, I'd buy a horse. There's a lot of them around that has got those half horse pumps that are taking chains and putting on three quarters and a half or a whole horse.
Will the horse work on that same jet?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'd thought, but you know, I don't use much water.
Well, if you don't use much, maybe you get along with
you. You see, I've got all these water troughs out here, yeah, but I haven't got many animals using them.
No.
And we don't use much water. Actually, really. Unless we got visitors. And if you've got visitors, Mr. Eastman, it looks like they're in that bathroom all the time.
Yeah.
And the hot water heater's going all the time, and the oh, shebang. I don't know. I
left that front off. I don't think the kids would get into it.
No, not anybody.
Till I get back.
That's a good idea about that plywood. What'd you use? Half inch?
Yeah.
That's big enough.
You could use either that, or you could use a couple of sheets of that roofing, that galvanized roofing. You nail them on.
Well, that would be, that would hold it. Would that, then how are you going to heat it a little bit to keep it from freezing?
Well, I don't be any building on the inside, I don't think it gets cold enough down here for it to freeze in there.
Put a light bulb?
Yeah.
And the galvanized roofing would do as good as that?
I think so.